But here we are. The WIP afternoon show on the road again.
Don't sound so thrilled.
With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park for a short but powerful WIP afternoon show. Ike, Phils win 2-1. How you feeling, brother?
Feeling pretty good, brother. Listen, we're coming off consecutive series wins. We needed to win this one to even have a chance to win this series with this second game of the doubleheader today. Bats were not alive for the majority of this game. Couple big hits by Bryce Harper late in the game to give us that lead. I love that. Lizardo, come on, man.
Again.
Seriously. Again. Look good again. Battled through today. I feel pretty good about this one. Now we need Nola to sort of, I know we're not, we need Nola to sort of not have a bad Nola game tonight.
He's got
to
grow up.
Yeah. Not have a bad Nola game and let's win this series.
Yep.
And so we can feel good about where the Phillies are right now. Listen, Bryce with a couple hits. I feel good about the game.
Almost went yard in the first. Want to point that out?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I mean, listen.
Almost Hall of Fame this year.
In normal circumstances, that ball's launched. So okay. it was a good day for old MB3.
There you go.
Yeah. No, but it was a game that kind of felt like it was trending towards a loss.
Definitely felt that way.
Wasn't the prettiest effort, but thankfully they grinded it out. They grinded it out. And what's going to be interesting, this is what they do usually in game ones of a series of a doubleheader. They went all out to win this game. So they went Kerkering, they went Romano, went Alvarado.
Yep.
So I'm very curious to see what the bullpen could look like in game two.
Well,
we could really use some length from old Knowles.
We need seven from Nola.
We'd love seven. Now he is back with Real Muto tonight. We use Marshawn in game one. So
yep.
That says something because I didn't know how that was going to go.
Yeah, well, yeah. I know, because obviously you could have just given JT the night off. He wanted to start him in the game, but they went the opposite way, clearly looking at the ERAs of the two different catchers back there. But it's more of those like exhale, thankfully they won, rather than that was the prettiest effort they put out there.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. If you're on your way out of the game or on your way into the game, it was a rainy afternoon. It wasn't a huge crowd here today, so I don't know if it's a mess out there or not. And there's enough of a gap in between games. First pitch of the second game is 6:15. You know, like this team coming in here today, coming in here this week, the St. Louis Cardinals had won 8 straight coming into this, you know, and they win 9 straight in the first game. And what I like about these first two games is you know, this is a team that is playing good baseball, that's got a good pitching staff with the St. Louis Cardinals. And I like a good 3-2 game or a 2-1 game.
Yeah.
And they lose that first one, they come back, they get this one. And, you know, watching this game, you mentioned Lizardo. So Lizardo goes 7-plus. Is that what he went tonight?
7.
7 innings, 1 run. Romano comes in there and looks great for the save. And I was nervous a little bit coming in there.
Of course.
And so
he's had some pretty easy innings recently.
He has. And, you know, so Lizardo continues to cook, right? Like, I keep waiting for a Lizardo. And the other thing that impressed me about Lizardo today was, once again, and you mentioned this in the beginning of the year with Lizardo, that he hunts strikeouts or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's not what he did today. Mm-hmm. He had a quick first inning. You know, he takes outs when they're there. He gets your fly outs, your double play balls. That it just seems like he is, every start, becoming a little more of a pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, besides, his last start was a step back. The Rays start, he wasn't great.
But he battled through it.
He battled, but it was a lot more like, didn't have his command in the strike zone, didn't have a feel for any of his off-speed. Today looked like the Lizardo we've seen for a majority of the season. And it's so funny because it feels like we've gotten to the point with Lizardo, kind of where we get with Sanchez and where we get with Wheeler's, just like we expect him to be great.
Right.
But Lizardo's been so good, we didn't even talk about how great Lizardo's been. You know, like he's
his ERA's under 2.
So far, I believe he still is the most valuable pitcher in the National League. If you're
from
going
a war standpoint.
Pitching war, which I'm not a huge fan of, but still, it shows how great he is. And the one guy you didn't mention, and I thought it was obviously a huge portion of the game, and he has really struggled. They need him to get right. But Kerkring comes in second and third, one out. And that strikeout in the last batter of that inning was disgusting. I mean, it was 97 dotted on the outside corner against the righty. So if they can get him back on track, Alvarado wasn't his most crisp effort, but he's been so good this year, I don't think we need to freak out about Alvarado. Clearly, Romano has bounced back and might – I mean, that's been two straight games where they've given Alvarado the eighth and given Romano the ninth, which is what they did with Kerkerian a couple, or what they did with Kimbrel a couple years ago. So maybe we're seeing a little bit of a shift there, because I don't know how much they love the idea of Alvarado in the ninth. I think when he's the best option, they'll go to him, but I don't know if they're like, he's a closer. I think they view Romano as a closer.
Because Alvarado puts too many guys on, is that what you say?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Well, so you see Romano look good. You see Luzardo look good. Now, Kepler has cooled off a little bit.
Almost went yard again.
But there is a, you know, at some point, we will, as the Phillies continue to win games, and we'll see if they win this series, you continue to get contributions from the guys that Dombrowski acquired in the offseason. And I think there are a million fair criticisms of Dombrowski, right? I don't think he has done an A-plus job since he's been here. But as time goes on, his offseason is looking a little bit better, right? I mean, at the very least, Kepler is a strong platoon bat and a decent everyday player. Luzardo has looked like a number one starter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he is one, but he has looked like one. He's clearly a two or a three at the very worst, but a two here.
He's an all-star. I mean, as of right now, he's an all-star.
And if Romano can settle in, and he had such a bad start to his year, I almost put away his numbers at this point. His ERA is like eight or something. Mm-hmm. But if he can, we're not going to be able to look at his numbers for a while, but if he can settle in, I think at some point you have to look and say, okay, maybe this wasn't as disastrous as an offseason as it looked at one point.
Try to tell you, he's tipping pitches.
Well, here's the thing, and listen, we can give Dombrowski credit as the guys start to show their worth being here, but I always will say this. It's not we're not in the business of being patient and waiting to see if things work itself out, right? So when things aren't going well early in the season, I'm not saying anybody was saying Dave Dombrowski should be fired or this guy stinks or he's going to be terrible. But when you're struggling, we're going to point it out struggling.
Yep.
That you're struggling. And the great thing about what we do is that we're on every day, and so you have the ability, when you get more information, your opinion can start to change as you get more information in. So to your point, yeah, it looks like Dave Dombrowski may have made some solid moves here, and they're starting to play itself out as the season goes along.
Well, and the Luzardo thing is like, that is, to me, more than a – it's more than a solid move, and it's more than a move about just this year, too.
Right, exactly.
Like, we're thinking about this year.
Yeah.
Luzardo is a young player and who has shown huge flashes as of
and being he's under
really
contract
good.
Already for next year, right?
He
is. Yeah, he's under
but
contract.
But that's it, though.
Right. So, but at least
could be pitching his way to an extension.
Extension, though. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at their pitching staff moving. We talk about, you know, we think about this year, but it's their job to think about this year and the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at their pitching staff, it like. Sanchez is a huge find at a great number. Even if you end up extending Luzardo at a big number, like if you can have a starting staff the way the Phillies have a starting staff, then I don't think you could have a disaster year at some point where everything falls apart. But if their starting staff is as good as it is, you're never going to have a season where you don't have a chance. You know, you're in every single game. It becomes really difficult to be an under 500 team.
Right.
And then you can start figuring out what you're doing with the lineup. You know, what you're doing moving. I'm talking about moving forward. What you're doing at third base, what you're doing in left field, you know, whether Trey Turner goes to the outfield, those sorts of things. So they've really assembled a starting staff that is pretty unbelievable, I think.
And that's not even mentioning Painter.
Yes.
Right.
Like
they could be adding a top three pitching prospect in all of baseball. And it gives them a chance night in, night out. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Ranger getting back and doing what he did on Saturday. I mean, the biggest question mark, I guess you could say, is Nola. But he also has shown flashes this year of not being cooked.
Yeah.
Like, he's shown flashes of being dominant.
Well, a great thing about that, and Spike just mentioned about the rest of the starting rotation, is that, yes, if you focus on Nola's contract, you're gonna always feel like
it's, drive yourself nuts.
You're underperforming and not worth it. But if you look at him in just the pecking order of what you have available to you, and say the contract doesn't matter, if Nola is your fourth best pitcher, that's a pretty good four to have.
Well, especially when you're only spending, what did Sanchez sign for, $8 million a year?
Yeah, they got him at the right time.
It's ridiculous.
Lizardo's not making anything.
Yep.
So you overspent on your fourth starter, but you've underspent on your...
Yes.
I would imagine when they look at their pitching staff, they're looking, how much are we spending and what production are we getting out of it in total?
Yep.
And yeah, Nola has not pitched up to his contract this year. He may never pitch up to that contract, but if he stays healthy... If he, you know, if he
takes the mound fifth day,
if he posts,
yeah,
if he takes Dan innings,
215-592-9494
innings,
big win for the Phils.
That's all
today.
I got is eat innings, well, and he's available.
All of a sudden, he's Taiwan.
No, he's not. Well, hold on. We might need Taiwan in game two.
Oh, that's a good point.
Might need another three out of Taiwan. Yeah. Now,
all of a sudden, Taiwan is valuable to us, man.
Hold on.
Well, we kept Taiwan and Joe Ross. That's your hopefully your two relievers for game two, right?
Long man.
Yeah.
Tanner Banks be ready.
Are you ready to say
Daniel Robert?
You're not a Tanner Banks guy.
No.
He's been pretty good this year.
He's been fine.
Yeah.
Smoke and mirrors. Brad Hand was good in 2022.
Ah.
He has position player pitching mechanics, if that makes any sense. So
It makes no sense.
Can you explain it?
It makes no sense.
Like when a position player goes out and pitches, that's what his mechanics look like. Yeah. No, he's better, obviously. hit the breaking news sounder.
Yeah.
Still think he would struggle to get outs in the PSAC. But
like somebody I know got outs in the PSAC,
yeah.
Right?
While today was a win, it was also a loss.
What?
The Schwarber streak ended.
Oh!
So we don't have to debate whether they should stop the game and give him the base.
I just wanted him to stand on first base.
You wanted it to happen in front of Schmidt, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. I wanted it to be a Sunday with Schmidt and Schwarber standing there on first base.
I didn't even realize that. Okay.
Tipping his cap.
Yeah.
We stopped the game. Maybe just a loop around the stadium in a cart like Ripken did.
See, that's what. So today at the game, it was not officially WIP day, but we had the whole air staff out today and a bunch of producers. So I wasn't able. We were watching the game, but you do miss things when you're not able to listen.
We're not listening.
So I wasn't. I watched the whole game, but I wasn't paying attention, I guess, to whether Schwarber got on or not.
Yeah,
would have been told that by Fransky or Stock or whoever. Wow.
You know, Fritz didn't bring it up while it was happening.
Well, I was locked in on the bat in this eighth, and I was like, wouldn't hate the game getting tied up so that we can get another Schwarber bat.
Jack, do you think in the second game they should at least acknowledge the amazing streak he went on seasons?
I think you might need to sit him. And just give him a little mental rest after what a draining streak it was.
Yep.
It was. I don't know what to tell you.
That's draining? He's at DH.
Okay.
That's
well,
you can't be drained.
No.
I was drained after six holes yesterday.
Guy works 12 minutes a day.
Truly.
Probably,
if he gets out early, probably
less. Yeah, probably less. All right, 215-592-9494. Talking Phils, if you were on your way in or on your way out for the Phillies game, game two, 6:15 right here on WIP. I'm not a big split doubleheader guy.
What do you mean?
I like the normal let's play, too. You know,
we don't do that anymore. You got to get two gates in.
Yeah. Well, especially when the team's not coming back, too. No opportunity for gate. 215-592-9494. Jim in Northeast Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just leaving the first game.
Hey, Jim.
Nice day.
Yeah. You know, I'm grateful for the win. I don't want to be called as, you know, leading off with complaints or frustrations, but I'm grateful for the win. Just frustrated about some things. I heard you mention, Ike, about, you know, using the relievers. But Lizardo had a game where if the offense, two consecutive innings we saw, he had runners in scoring position where you may not have even needed to use your bullpen but one person. Where he comes out seven strong innings, now you have to eat into the bullpen because all the bats died. It just seems like with our team, all the bats died consecutively. And wasn't one of the innings, it was the top of the order. We had second and third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Harper and Turner let up the inning with walks and they couldn't bring him home.
Yeah, exactly. I do feel though, Jim, that they had two solid weeks of hitting the ball really, really, really well. And they're gonna the fact that I hear you, they're not gonna hit every single game. And the fact that they managed to get a win out of it feels good to me.
Yeah.
The team at this point seems like they are in a pick each other up kind of way.
Right.
And when the bullpen blew up, or when the starter didn't have a great game and they needed to score, they even, you know, I keep going back to that game on a Sunday. I forget who it was against, where they came back, they didn't get the win.
The Diamondbacks,
where they ended up scoring 7 runs. They seem to have really settled into a vibe here where we know that they are a good team. I think for the first 3 weeks of the season, we weren't sure whether the Phillies were good overall. I think at this point, we are sure that the Phillies are good. And they're putting themselves into a situation where, and it'll lead into an interesting trade deadline, like what they need the most and how far away they actually are from winning a World Series. Yeah, it's frustrating when they don't get guys home, but I do think they've had a pretty solid couple of weeks of hitting the ball.
No, that's fair. Thanks, you guys, for taking my call.
You got it, Jim. Yeah, I mean, like the ups and downs. There is a bit of an ups and downs to the baseball.
There's going
to
be lulls. Yeah. And when they go through the lulls, hopefully they can still win games. And the Cardinals have come in here playing good baseball, by the way.
I mean, 8 straight.
Well, 9 straight after Monday.
After Monday,
So they're obviously a good team. Also, they kind of killed the Phillies a little much, but they took 2 or 3 from them, a month ago?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right.
Which kind of shows how long a baseball season is. That feels like it was forever ago. So, there's certain little things they got to do better, of course.
Yeah, this is one of those you grind it out, you get it the best way you can, and I don't quibble over how they got the win. Now, if you're looking at an overall series, we'll see what this evening's game brings us. And then you can sort of have more of a legitimate feeling about the series. But with the delay yesterday or the postponement yesterday, and you know you got to play 2 today, and you're playing in it's not a downpour, but it is a constant little drizzle out there today. You know, it's not the greatest weather out there. You know, it's not much fun. But they grinded it out, and it was tough early. They got some clutch hits late in the game. You take this one and you try to get the next one.
It's a win.
You take this one and you try to get the next one.
I think it's all in context, too. If this win had happened in the middle of them playing bad, we would have said, this was ugly. I would have picked out the bad things. But they've been playing pretty well, you know. I had one more thing. It's gone. 215-592-9494. Jordan Princeton, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Don't call into the show much, but I'm a real big fan of yours, and I met y'all in Clearwater in the media parking lot. It was a lot of fun.
You were with one other guy, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was with my buddy Ross. We saw Tom McCarthy the night before. We got to meet you guys. It made for a hell of a trip down to spring training, so I really appreciate that.
Love it. Yeah, of course. Well, thanks for calling, Jordan.
I'm on my way home from the game, and I got to tell you, Ike, it wasn't just a little miserable out there. It was pretty freaking miserable out there. It was a really nasty day. It is cold. It is wet. And I'm very thankful that I made a good investment of my time today to go to this win. And I think it really does show resilience, in particular of the bullpen. Because, you know, we put Alvarado out there in the 8th, which is something that tends to make me nervous because you wonder who's going to come in the 9th. And Romano comes in the 9th, and he plays like that 13.5 ERA from earlier in the season ain't no thing. And it was really nice to see. And honestly, a great day at the ballpark with a good buddy of mine I don't see very often.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about, Fritz.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
It's good. Yeah, the Alvarado thing I think is interesting. Now, that was a more important part of the lineup. You know, Nootbaar let off the inning. So and that's a lefty-lefty matchup. That didn't work out.
Lars Nootbaar.
Dude, I'm a Nootbaarsman.
Yeah?
But that's what he's been doing the last I think Romano has done well enough to where you can feel, I think, mostly comfortable with giving him the
starting
nine.
To get there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a weirdo up there. You're right.
I told you. Yeah,
he's just a weirdo. I didn't get to see if he was talking to himself.
Well, the one after the first out, he like screamed into his glove.
Into his glove, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, relievers are interesting. Usually lefties are weird, pitching wise. Not in real life. Would never talk about lefties in a negative way. But he's an odd cat.
Yeah.
He's 100% an odd cat.
Yeah. We appreciate the call, Jordan. Thanks for checking in, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Be well.
I see him. So, go ahead. You have some? Oh. So, all right. I don't want to kill the guy because you only play once a week. it like I can understand for Marshawn that like only playing once a week, it's hard to have your head like making all the right decisions when you only play once a week. It was one of the worst base running games I've ever seen from a Major League Baseball player today. This is the worst base running team I've ever seen.
Yeah, what is that?
Welcome to Philadelphia, buddy.
They are horrible. They look, even when Bryce went
to that led by Bryce, is he leading his bad base running barrage?
I don't know.
Marshawn was horrible. First of all, how does he get doubled up in the, second inning, third inning, whatever it was? Then the he hits a ball that he should have ended up on second with.
Takeoff.
I don't know, man. It was just the guy plays one day.
Stott trying to run from first to home.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah.
Because
he's the smartest player they have.
I think pound for pound is their smartest player. So that was not. Yep, I couldn't tell if he got deked or something out there. But regardless, are you calling for old Stubby to come back there, Spike? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well,
look,
here's the other thing,
Stubbsy.
Well, if Marshawn's going to be up here and he is potentially a future catcher for the Phillies,
sure,
he's got to play more. Like, do they have an option? Can they send him down, or do they lose him?
So, they would place him on waivers. They wouldn't necessarily lose him. They could,
but there's
lose
a chance they could lose him.
And they don't want to do that.
So, like, can I ask you something?
Uh-huh.
JT is—he's not a young guy.
He's not hitting. He's not ripping the cover off.
He's not ripping the cover off the baseball. He had knee surgery last year. Is there a reason why they can't get another Marshawn game in a week to have this guy? Like, I don't even blame him for hitting 100 because he's not playing baseball.
Backup catcher's a hard spot because you're very cold. You play once. Yeah. So I hear you, and I think they should start playing Marshawn a little bit more. My only counter is, now it was good to see Lizardo pitch the way he did tonight with Marshawn back there. I just wonder how much the JT calling of games and the comfortability and what he's getting out of the starting pitching. Because, I mean, we've talked about the NOLA with him. I mean, NOLA 2.79 with Real Muto 7.64.
But as part of that, the backup guy never plays.
It could be.
You know?
I mean, sure, there's a comfortability with having Real Muto back
I think
there.
It's just comfort.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. I think the word.
Well,
I don't think it's comfortability.
I think comfortability is a word.
Comfortability,
it sounds like a word.
No, I think.
But does it sound like a word?
But
like
imagine you just said the word comfort. I think there's a comfort with Real Muto out there. See how it just works that way?
I think comfortability also works that way.
I don't know.
Spike, why don't you weigh in on that?
Yeah.
That's probably. I think it sounds cleaner with the way Spike said it.
Yeah.
I think I sounded more legit with the way I said comfortability.
So, per Mike Angelina, comfortability is not a real word. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, it is.
It's in the dictionary. Oh, that's from a tweet. Yeah, sorry. It is in the dictionary.
On Wiktionary, it is.
Yeah, it's a dumb word. It's a word for dumb people to try to sound smart.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, you hit me with, you know, you haven't.
You too, man.
Yeah. Well.
Wow.
It's like, you got to move out of the way of the fire.
Well, you know. I love the guy.
Wow.
But, you know.
Wow. Wait till the top five.
Just, oh. No. You did a Spike top five yesterday.
Wow.
Oh, you're doing it again?
Not just about you.
And I know. It's going to be the top five worst people at WIP Day at Citizens Bank Park. Is that what it is? Something like that?
Something along those lines.
I know it.
I know it is.
Top five things I saw. I could even do the preview. Spike's just not having any fun.
There, two, just sat there the whole time.
Yeah, all right, there it is. 215-592-9494. Dan and Ben Salem, you're at WIP. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Dan?
What's up, Dan?
Yeah, great win today. The Banks is looking a lot better. Did you hear what Ruben Amaro said to compared him to on Twitter just an hour ago?
No, what
he said? He's looking like Lidge.
Oh, yeah, the slider is looking a little Lidge-like. Yeah, Ruben's in tweet.
I mean, that's a strong comparison compared to Lidge. I mean, I
Ruben Amaro did.
Yeah. He gets in these modes where he gets a little tight about my tweets.
Oh, you know what he did? He gave me on lottery night, I put the F word in a tweet. He just responded back, Spike, language.
Nice. America's father, Ruben Amaro Jr.
I looked at him for a second, and I was like, this guy was the general manager of the Phillies. And he is tweeting at me about my language.
Yeah, watch your language, Spike.
Yeah.
That's how I feel, too.
What world am I living in here? What a strange world we have in. Sorry, Dan.
Can I make a confession I did the other night?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I had a little bit too much to drink the other night, and I got up in the morning. I was about to spit my morning coffee out. I put Tyrone Walker to win the Cy Young Award this year on FanDuel by mistake.
What were those odds?
Would you get a million?
I know, like 1 million, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Dan?
I was like, oh shit! I
really. Hope you get that back in the studio. Yeah, we're gonna let Dan go.
Yeah.
I hope you got that.
Someone's celebrating.
Please tell me you got that. You got it. All right.
Phil's cards, game one.
Well, let me tell you something. If Tyrone Walker wins the Cy Young, that guy's buying everybody dinner.
I totally agree.
Maybe a little more than dinner.
I don't think he really bet on Taiwan.
I don't think there's odds.
I don't think there's odds.
He can't be.
No shot.
No.
0% chance.
How drunk would you have to be?
To be hallucinating?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think pretty drunk. He could go Jim Constanti in 1950 when he won MVP on the 1950 Whiz Kids.
Wow, look at you, historian.
As a bullpen.
Look at you, a Phillies historian.
Come on, man. Yeah.
He's locked in on Phillies history.
Well, they still haven't put his. They haven't put him in the Wall of Fame, but we're retiring Ed Delahanty.
Oh, right. That's your complaint.
By the way, they didn't have any numbers, so that's why they can't. They can do it without retiring a number because they didn't wear numbers in 1894.
Is that rude? Is that true?
Yeah, that's how they snuck out of having to retire a number. They didn't have any numbers.
That's it. So, wait a minute. All right. So were the Yankees around then? Because the Yankees don't put the names on the back.
Sure. Yeah,
Yankees not do anything?
I have no idea. Major League Baseball, they finally decided.
We're going to need numbers to identify you guys.
How did they know they hit 400 all in the same year? They were wearing different numbers.
No numbers.
I know.
No
numbers. Yeah. The three Phillies in 1894 all hit over 400, and they're retiring in the numbers.
Oh, yeah. Do we know that's true?
Would never.
Now that I think about it. You don't need numbers in baseball. Numbers in baseball are stupid. The umpire never says the number of the guy. I understand it in basketball, right? I understand it in football because you're calling penalties on people.
Well, certainly in football you understand.
Yeah, and basketball as well.
Yeah, you call fouls on basketball.
Foul on, on 15 that hold up the numbers. Like the baseball, the number must just be tradition. There's no need for it.
It's to identify the player.
Yes. The name. They could just have their name.
Why can't they just have the numbers?
Why don't golfers have numbers?
So you don't respect the number 42?
Oh, do not. Well, you are.
You had to go there.
Yep. Oh, Jack did it before a caller did it. So, wow. Jack's in one of those moods. He hasn't been behind the glass in a week and a half, and this is what we get out of Jack, that I'm disrespecting Jackie Robinson. 215-592-9494.
215.
Nico in Jersey.
Nico Harrison.
What's up, Nico? What's up, Nico?
Come on, Nico!
Nico's on.
Hello.
Mute. I can feel
There we go.
There he is. What's up, Nico?
I'm from Greece. I watch a little bit baseball when I can, when the time is a little different. But today I flew from Greece Friday. I come visit family. We go to the Phillies game today. Big Phillies fan. I think very low scoring game, but that's my opinion because I watch a lot of soccer in Europe and,
Well, it was only three runs.
Want to know. How confident are we to win the World Series? Maybe I put a couple of thousand euros.
Hold on, is this Joe Conklin?
Yeah. You put a couple thousand euros?
Hey, he's from
Greece. You bet sandwiches?
Who's Conklin?
Euros? No, zeros.
Zeros?
Hold
on. Euros? Who's on first?
Euros. Pam? Euros. Pam?
Pam. Pam.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, I'm out.
Confidence that the Phillies will win the World Series.
I don't know.
Nico, I think they have a chance.
They have a chance. That's all that counts. All that matters.
I would say that they have a chance. I would say that if they got in the playoffs, I don't think that this is a team. I would say there is no chance. With their pitching staff the way that it is, I think they would be in every series.
Yes.
While we're on the Phillies, it was announced yesterday, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, that Major League Baseball reinstated Pete Rose, they took off the ban, so he has the ability to be inducted into the Hall of Fame now. Now, I guess this goes to the They don't call it the Veterans Committee. What do they call it? The Classic Players Committee or whatever?
No, it's the Veterans Committee.
It's equivalent to
the Veterans Committee. Yeah. And they also reinstated Shoeless Joe Jackson. The Phillies did make a statement on Pete Rose. The Phillies support today's decision by Commissioner Manfred in Major League Baseball to remove Pete Rose from the permanently ineligible list. As one of the greatest players in the history of the game, Pete made significant on-field contributions to the Phillies over his 5 seasons with the club, highlighted by our first World Series title in 1980. I don't think it's nothing that the Phillies supported that and did it. You know, and especially, you know, we talked yesterday about the off-field stuff is there. So anytime somebody supports Pete Rose now, it's being in the Hall of Fame, not as a person, but as a player deserving to be in the Hall of Fame, they or an organization like the Phillies do, they understand that they are going to get the there's going to be pushback. And also, I think fair pushback for the betting on baseball stuff.
Sure.
I think even if we take the off-the-field stuff, the betting on baseball is enough for somebody to say, no, that's not okay with me. I think the pathway and the story of what happens here, I think, is very interesting. Because I think for a while we thought, if this ban was lifted, okay, Pete Rose will get into the Hall of Fame. But I don't think it's an automatic thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the Phillies voicing their support, and every time somebody, every time a former player, a current player, an important writer, I saw Bob Nightingale, like, torched baseball for allowing him back. And it was funny, he grouped Pete Rose with Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds. He said, well, if we let Rose in, we're going to have to let these guys in too. And I think a lot of people would say, yes, correct. That's what we want. We want all of these guys in there. They've paid their price. But I think every time somebody supports Rose getting in the Hall of Fame, whether it's an organization or a person, it's a big moment, because I don't think it's a no-brainer. You know, for a while I thought it would have been a no-brainer. I don't think it's a no-brainer now that it's happened.
Yeah, and you got a couple years before it's even going to take place.
Yep.
So what somebody feels today from a knee-jerk reaction from the news coming out may be differently than what you may feel 2 years from now. I think it's late in 2027 that they're going to do this vote.
Oh, is that when it is?
I think that's when in 27, late, where they're going to do this vote. So you got a little bit of time. Maybe some people's opinion won't change, but at least over this 2-year period, voices and opinions will be heard, pro and con, for Pete Rose being in the Hall of Fame. They're going to be great athletes. Organizations like the Phillies, who he played for, and, you know, who knows? I know Montreal isn't here anymore, but I don't know if he played for Montreal as well, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
He played for Cincinnati, obviously. They're going to support this. There's going to be players, teammates of his, who don't support him being off the ban list, right, and don't want him in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Then there are going to be players like Mike Schmidt, who was a teammate of his, that I think should voice publicly, no matter how uncomfortable it is, and it's not the popular thing, that you get that out there. And then eventually it'll be left up to those 16 members, where he needs 12 of the 16 votes to get in. It's not a question about his talent. It's about whether or not the off-the-field stuff should have that type of impact on your voting and your opinion as to whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. That's really what this is all about. Whether it's the gambling or it's the other stuff that he was involved in with minors, underage minors, and that sort of thing. Like,
yeah,
and that's where it's going to fall at.
And what I would caution, because people take this, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I do.
Yeah.
But people use this as a trick to say, well, the first thing I'd say is, if you are a person that does have influence, if you're Mike Schmidt, if you're the Phillies, you should think about organizing. You should think about organizing. You should think about a campaign, because you're going to have to
You're going
to
need that.
You're going to have to remind people. Know, I think, intellectually, oh, he was a great player. You're going to have to start showing the statistics. You're going to have to start showing those things. But, like, I also don't – I hate when people use the sort of trick of saying, like, okay, you say he should be in the Hall of Fame, and the response is – oh, so you support da 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 da, like, right, all the bad things.
Yeah.
That nobody supports that. Nobody supports betting on baseball. Nobody supports it, you know, any of the other.
But I also don't look at betting on baseball the same way I did 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Well, players, I do.
That's fine. I'm just saying I don't view the whole gambling thing. This country is making millions and billions of trillions of dollars off of gambling.
Right.
Off of gambling. I understand the integrity part of it, not betting on your own team. I get all of that. But this thing about gambling, miss me with that. Miss me with the gambling stuff. Just miss me with it. But if you want to talk about the other stuff that you're appalled by and you can't get by, I can understand that. I'm just saying, for me, I don't care about Bob Nightingale or whomever wants to get on a high horse about gambling on baseball, where the guy was clearly banned from the sport for over 35 years. He's not going to get the chance to enjoy what it means or feels like to go into the Hall of Fame. So he sort of had paid a price on it. Why are we, who are we to decide you should never get in because you gambled on baseball?
And by the way, he wasn't banned from baseball because of the other stuff.
Exactly. And that's why, exactly. Yeah. He was banned from baseball because of the gambling on baseball. And that's what I've focused on more, because the gambling part of this I don't have these moral high horses about the gambling stuff. I just don't.
I
don't feel bad about it. I don't.
The other thing I would do is if you want to go through, if you want to go through the Hall of Fame and go through the personal records of everybody in the Hall of Fame, it's not like a sparkling.
There's guys in the Hall of Fame that if you looked at their character and things they've done, and that they're still in the game just because they didn't bet on the game or they didn't use steroids. There's other things that guys have gotten in the Hall of Fame that's on their resume.
Yes, there's
as characters.
Yes, in every field, and
whether it's beating your wife, you know what I mean, all those type of things, domestic violence, all those type of things.
There's tons
of those guys in the Hall of Fame.
215-592-9494. Rich in Lansdale, you're on WIP.
Hey guys, I gotta step in here. Uh-oh. The guy broke the one rule that you cannot break.
Yeah.
You can't bet on the game.
And he paid a price for it. He paid a price for it.
No. The rule is the rule. You don't
understand
let
that.
People slide down the road.
They didn't let him slide down the road.
Nah,
you mean to tell me you think Pete Rose got away with this?
No, but I tell you what, he denied it for years and years.
I understand
years.
That, but he was still penalized as if he did it. He was found guilty of it, so he didn't get away with it.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes.
People break rules after feeling bad about it. The point is, it's a rule. And
I understand that he was punished.
So now we're going to set the rules that if you do this, you're out of baseball for until we feel okay about you? No.
He died.
He's gone.
He was banned for 30-plus years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I get you, but you know what? I grew up during the Big Red Machine. That was an incredible baseball team and a great baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know,
I'm from Cincinnati and grew up in Cincinnati. So
I know you. You're a fan, too.
Exactly.
Love the guy as a baseball player, but the same way I would treat my kids, if it was my son who'd done that, I would have said, sorry, man,
Now, you brought your son into this. You're trying to tell me that you wouldn't have, after 35 years, any remorse for your son and any forgiveness for him.
You ask my son.
I'm asking you. You brought your son into this. I didn't. You did.
I know.
So you're telling me after 35 years, you wouldn't forgive your son for something.
I would forgive my son, but I would also say to him, you broke the rule, the cardinal rule. And at some point, you know, accept it, and if Pete Rose had apologized early, maybe, but he didn't. He wasn't the least bit contrite.
And he's not here to be celebrated for it. He's not here to enjoy going into the Hall of Fame. He's not here.
I get it.
The rule's a rule. The other thing I would say is it'll never be forgotten.
No. Like
what he did.
I would put it on his plaque.
Yeah.
Put it on his plaque. He was banned for gambling on baseball.
Also put it on Barry Bonds' plaque.
Yes.
Yeah. That it's It's part of everything.
Yes.
It's part of everything.
I'm not saying you erase it and ignore it and all of a sudden you celebrate Pete Rose like he was some great person. I don't think anybody's ever going to do that.
No. If anything, this will re-raise all this, everything that
yes.
he did. It'll re-raise, it'll re-raise everything.
Also, for throwing a World Series with shoeless Joe Jackson after game one, he hit 429. I mean, are we sure he threw the World Series?
No, he didn't. He took the money and then he decided not to. Didn't you see eight men out?
No. Nah.
You never saw eight men out? Oh, all right.
I don't do the old, yeah.
All right, yeah.
The Natural, never seen it.
He doesn't know what happened, yeah.
Mr. Baseball, never seen it.
But that's not a classic.
Yeah. You didn't see Eight Men Out?
Nah.
You should watch it, man.
Nah. You might like it.
Eight Men Out's a good flick.
All right.
You might like it.
All right, coming up next.
We're never going to celebrate Pete Rose, although the Phillies, you would have to imagine, they put that statement out there because we will be celebrated.
We get ready for a Wall of Fame.
Yes, there will be a Wall of Fame at some
point.
Well,
they're like, at some point, we're going to retire. We're going to do it with all the 08 guys. We're going to be a little stuck.
Yeah. That tells me Pete Rose is going up on the Wall of Fame at some point.
Yep. They're just warning you. They're letting you know it's happening.
Yep.
The Top 5 of 5 is coming up next. Jack, unfortunately, what do we have in the Top 5 of 5?
People at WIP, I won't watch a Phillies game with anymore.
What?
It's just a bit. Take a deep breath.
All right.
Jeez.
People at WIP, you won't watch a Phillies game with anyone.
There were a lot of them here today.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Learned a lot about some coaches.
Are we going to need a top 15 at 5?
Yeah.
We're at the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth, the Deborah Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. We are here leading you up to game two of this doubleheader. First pitch will be at 6:15 on WIP. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.